technical delay.
I said base band. Mint will be at 5:30 in the main show. In the main show. That's what I told them.
Sorry, technical though. We're good to go. Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Daf Yud Gimel. We left off at the Mishnah four lines down. Now, as has happened a few days, the Mishnayos here are ones that we've encountered before. So there'll be a little bit. Today is testing how much attention you paid the last few days because we'll be jumping around a little bit. So the Mishnah says, "Hi omeres mukas eitzani." In this case, she claims that she's a mukas eitz. And remember, a mukas eitz is a woman who whose basulum was ruptured not through bia with a man, but through some external force or object. V'hu omer, and he says, Loki, not so. Now remember from yesterday, Loki doesn't mean that he knows. He says, maybe it's not so. Ela drusash ish at. You're someone who is trampled by a man, meaning that that you had relations with a man. Now, just to be clear, because timing is always important with these cases, in this case, neither of them are claiming that she did anything or that anything happened in the period between Erisin and Nisuin. It's just an argument about, so everything happened before Erisin, but is she a Mukas Eitz, who had never been together with a man, and or is it a case of... in a case where she was a bula, she had previously had relations. So the argument here has to do with the amount of her ksuba, whether there was a whether the man was misled or not. It's not an argument about whether she's usher to him, etc. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Omrim Nemenes. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer says that she is believed. Rabbi Shua says, Lo mipia anu chayin. We don't live by her words. Ela harezu b'cheskas drusas ish. We assume she's in a chazaka that she was a bu'ulo together with a man. At shetavi raya l'dvareha, until she brings proof to her words. Now, this Mishnah really is very similar to the Mishnah we had before, because the machlokas is about bari v'shema bari adif, that she is saying, I know that I'm a mukas eitz, and he's saying, well, maybe you are together with another man. We know that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar say that she's believed, and we established yesterday that she's believed because she's certain and he's uncertain, and it's coupled with either a migu or a chazaka. The migu in this case would be that if she wanted, and this is going to get into the detail in Agamara, but the way we understood it yesterday was that that she's believed to say that she should get 100 because she could have said that she was a mukas eitz after erisin, in which case she would for sure be entitled to 200 zuz. So therefore she has a migu. The chazaka is a little more complicated than yesterday's chazaka, but it's one of two things. The simpler one is just that Benos Yisrael generally aren't promiscuous. The other is that the other chazaka, according to the Ramban, would be that she was in a chazaka of someone who had never been together with a man, because when a girl is born, she's in a chazaka she was never with a man, and therefore that chazaka would carry through. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer are of the opinion that a bari v'shema bari adif, that bari together with a chazaka or amigo, is strong, and Rabbi Yeshua says no. It's basically, this is a case of trying to take out money. When you're trying to take money from someone, amotzi mechavel olav araya. So on its face, this Mishnah is teaching us something very similar to what we learned in the last Mishnah, which was the argument about Nestav Chasadeu with whether when that happened in terms of the Erisin and Nisuin. So the Machlokas is similar, and the Gemara is going to try and figure out what's the difference between the two. So before we try to figure out the difference between the two, the Gemara wants to know, what are we talking about here? What's she claiming, and what's he claiming, and how does that relate to the Ksuba? So Tanasayhu b'mai, what are their relative claims? Rav Yochanan says b'masayim v'mana, that they're arguing about 200 and 100. What does that mean? That means that she's saying mukatz eis ani, I'm a mukatz eis, and since I am not a ba'ula, you owe me 200. Now we're going to see in the Gemara, but obviously that's going along with Rav Meir. Rav Meir is the one that says that it's 200. So, and he's saying back, no, it's 100. He's saying it's 100 because he holds, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and we're going to see this in more detail, but he holds that this question that we've been dealing with the last couple of days, which is if a man marries a woman thinking she's a basula and she ends up to be a ba'ula, it would be 100. So she's saying, mukas eitzani, I get 200. And he's saying, no, you tricked me. I thought you were a basula. Not so much tricked, because that gets into mekatos, but you told me I thought you were a basula, now you're a ba'ula. So I only owe you 100. So they're arguing 200 and 100, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar says, B'mane v'lo klum. They're arguing about 100 and nothing. She says, I'm a mukas eitz, so I should pay you, you have to pay me 100. And he says, no, you tricked me. He says, no, that you were together with a man. I thought you were a basula. Turns out you're a bula. You get nothing. So again, Rabbi Yochanan says 200 and 100. Rabbi Elazar says 100 and nothing. So now the Gemara is going to establish why they say these. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar b'masayim v'mana. Rabbi Yochanan says 200 and 100 because Savar lak Rabbi Meir. He holds like Rabbi Meir. The Amar Rabbi Meir said bein hikar ba bein lo hikar ba masayim. Whether the husband knew walking into the marriage that she was a mukas eitz or not, even if he thought she was a basula, it doesn't make a difference because mukas eitz is not a case where she had had relations with a man, and therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, she's entitled to 200. So she's claiming, I'm a mukas eitz, pay me 200. And the man is saying back, no, I thought you were basula, you're a bula, so you should get 100. Rabbi Lazar says, b'mana v'lo klum, they're arguing about 100 and nothing. Why? Because savar lak rabbanan. He holds like the Rabbanan, and we established after Hadar Bei Rava, after Rava was Chozer, back on Daf Yud Aleph, we established that the Rabbanan hold Damri Ein Bein Hikarba, Damri Bein Hikarba Bein Lo Hikarba Mana. That we established, according to Rabbanan, that regardless of whether he knew beforehand or not, a Mukas Eitz is 100, and so therefore he's saying 100, and the other argument would be that it's 0. And the argument that it's zero is because you know, I thought you were a basula and you turned out to be a ba'ula. So now we understand why Rav Yochanan and Rav Lazar have their argument. Do they hold like Rav Meir or do they hold like the Chachamim? So now, the Gemara asks, so we're going to try and bring Rias to which one is right. Bishlama, Rav Lazar, it works out very well, according to Rav Lazar, that he says we're arguing about 100 and zero. Lo kama Rav Yochanan, he didn't say like Rav Yochanan who says it's 200 and 100, the kamuki lo karabanan. Because we establish halacha like Rabbanan. So we know, generally speaking, yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim, that ordinarily we go with the majority. The majority is the chachamim. So therefore, pashtus, we would want that we should say that mukas eitz is 100. So that works out well. But el Rabbi Yochanan, my time elo amr, k'rabbi Lazar. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say like Rabbi Lazar? Why did he feel that he had to go to a case of Reb Meir and say that she was claiming 200, why couldn't you go like the Chachamim and say she was claiming 100? So he says, because, the Gemara says, because he could not have done that. Why? Because of a different opinion he holds, which is Kasavar, he's of the opinion, as we referenced before, Kansa Becheskas Basula, Venimsas Bula, Yeshak Suba Mana. So he's of the opinion that, and again, we paskined previously, where we've talked about that, the Halacha paskins at the end of the day, that someone who thinks she's marrying a Basula and marries a Bula ends up with nothing, but in this case, Rabbi Yochanan is one of those who holds that if he married her thinking she was a basula and it turns out she's a basula, and turns out she's a baula, he gets 100. So therefore, if he was mukimit like the Rabbanan, you would come out that the husband and wife are saying the same thing. Hacha hu ka'amar mana, he would be saying 100 because since he thought she was a basula and she turned out to be a baula, so he's saying, I only have to pay you 100. Vihika Amra Mana, and she would be saying, like the Chacham and Mukas H, you only have to pay me 100. That sounds like a great argument. He says 100, she says 100. So you can't say that the Mishnah is talking about the Chachamim, because if Rav Yochanan holds that when a man says, I thought I was marrying a Basula and it turns out she's a Bula, it's 100, and you say, like the Chachamim, that a Mukas H is 100, this is not a good Machlokas, because they're both saying the same thing. So therefore, we have to say that Rav Yochanan, because he holds that when a man marries thinks it's a basula and marries a bula is 100. So we have to say that when she's claiming something different and she's claiming mukas eitz, so she's claiming 200. So then the machlokas works out well. She's claiming 200 because mukas eitz. He's claiming 100 because I thought you were a basula. So we have a good machlokas. But unfortunately, the consequence of this is that he has to say like Reb Meir. He can't say that the Mishnah is going like the Chachamim because otherwise you wouldn't have a good machlokas. So he's saying, if so, ma'ika ben tana didei l'tana didei. If you have that, then there's no difference. What difference is there between their two opinions? So therefore, he has to say, like Rav Meir, not like the Chachamim. So now the Gemara is going to ask another kasha. Again, we're dealing with this question. Is it like Rav Yochanan 200, 100? Is it like Rav Elazar with 100 and 0? He says, Bishlam alu Rav Elazar. It works out very well, according to Rav Elazar. Hainu dekatani tarti. That's why we had two Mishnayos that basically said the same thing. And Rashi says that they were both talking about mamonos with a bari v'shema, an amigo chazaka. Well, we'll see about the amigo chazaka. But in other words, they're basically saying the same things. The Mishnah that we had on Yud-Beis Amud Beis, which talks about the fact that he says that I was raped. I'm sorry, she says that she was raped after Erisin, and he says, no, you were someone who was together with a man before we had Erisin. So that was a case of Bari Vashema. She said I was raped. He said maybe you weren't, and you tricked me. And then our Mishnah also, she says Mukas Eitz, and he says no, maybe you were together with a man. So we have two cases that are very similar. So he says if we go like Rabbi Lazar, Hanu de Katani Tarti, that's why we learn two. Chada la fuke de min Rami bar Chama, v'chadi la fuke min Rav Chia bar Avin. I mean, Rav Chia bar Avin, Amar Rav Sheshes. Okay, so he says according to Rabbi Lazar, it works out well because we need two Mishnayos. One to take away from Rami bar Chama, one to take away from Rav Chia bar Avin, Amar Rav Sheshes. So here's where we get into testing our recollections from Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So, okay, I'm not going to get into detail here, but if you take a look that that in on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we had a case where Rami Bar Chama was learning that a Mukas Eitz gets nothing. And the Gemara asks from our Mishnah, and the Gemara says from our Mishnah, you see, she's claiming Mukas Eitz, and therefore she wants money. He's claiming something totally different, saying that you're a Drus Hashish, you were together with a man, but he's not arguing that if she's right that there is a Mukas Eitz, then she would get some amount of money, because you see it says Nemenes. So that was the Gemara on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara said, how could it be, Rami Bar Chama, that a Mukas Eitz gets nothing, because we see from our Mishnah over here, Nemenes, and she's claiming Mukas Eitz. He's not arguing what would be the halacha if there was a Mukas Eitz, so she wouldn't be sitting there claiming zero. She must claiming some amount, and it says Nemenes. So the Gemara in Yud Aleph Amud Beis says Rami Bar Chama must be wrong, and in fact the Gemara is chozer from it because of our Mishnah. So therefore, we need our Mishnah to tell us not like Rami Bar Chama. Then we had also in Yud Aleph Amud Beis when we went through that whole long brisa about Motzi Shemra, and we had Rav Chia Bar Avin's opinion, which was when a man marries a woman thinking she's a Basula, and it turns out she's a Ba'ula, then Rav Chia Bar Avin said you get 100, right? So, and then they brought our Mishnah, our Mishnah from Yud Beis Amud Beis, the one where she said I was raped after the Erisin, and he said, no, you were with someone before the Erisin, as a question because he says Mekachtos, and we said Mekachtos implies zero, and therefore Rav Chia Bar Avin, who says Mekachtos is 100, is disproved from that Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis. Okay, so I don't want to get in, that was 2 days ago's daft, but just to you'll remember that Rami Bar Chama was disproved because of the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and Rav Chia Bar Avin was disproved because of the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis. So now the Gemara is saying, according to Rabbi Lazar, it's good, that's why we have to learn two, because one was coming to tell us that Mukas Eitz is not zero, and one was coming to tell us that when a man marries, he thinks of Basula and it turns out to be a Ba'ula, it's not 100, but rather zero. But now, we just finished saying that Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that a man marries a woman thinking she's a Basula and it turns out she's a Ba'ula, gets 100. So now, and therefore, if you remember, Rav Chia Bar Avin had to rephrase our Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis and say that when it says Mekachtos, it doesn't mean zero, it means Mekachtos from 200, and therefore it's 100. So we said that. So therefore, he obviously is not saying one of the Mishnayos is coming to tell us that it's zero because he holds it's 100. So we're left with the fact that why do we then need two Mishnayos? The one in Yud Beis Amud Beis and Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. If you understand like Rabbi Lazar, you need one for Rami Bar Chama and one for Rav Chia Bar Avin. But if Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rav Chia Bar Avin, why does he need two Mishnayos? It should be enough to just have our Mishnah. We would understand the Machlokas of Bari Vashem and Bari Yadav with Miko and Chazaka, and on the other hand, the Moshe Chavel of Araya. Why would we need two Mishnayos telling us the same thing if we hold like Rav Chia Bar Avin? Which Rabbi Yochanan said, we said, does hold like Rav Chia Bar Avin, that if a man marries a Basula, and he thought she was a Basula and she turns out to be a Bula, that it is 100. So he says, Elul Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Tartalomali, what do I need these two Mishnayos? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Chada lahodiacha kochad Rabbi Gamliel, v'chada lahodiacha kochad Rabbi Yeshua. The reason we had two Mishnayos was to bring out an element of novelty in each one, which is the following. Kamaisa, the first one, it brings, Kamaisa lahodiacha kochad Rabbi Yeshua, the afagav de'ikul lemeimer migul loy mehemna. So why did we bring the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis to say the same machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, because to show us that in that case of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Gamliel, there was a migu and a chazaka that was supporting Bari, right? So you had, first of all, Bari Veshema, Bari Adif, it has some value, but we don't paskin that way because we learned like Rav Nachman. But then when you add on to the Bari, you add on a migu and a chazaka, then it's good. That was Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar and Gamliel. And Rabbi Yeshua said, even with all of that, even with a Bari and a migu and a chazaka, I tell you that we say Amotzi Mechaver of Olivarai, and it's not that strong. So that's why we needed the Mishnah and Yud Beis on Beis to show you that even in a very strong case, Bari, chazaka, and migu, Rabbi Yeshua still says, no luck, Amotzi Mechaver of Araya. Basraisa, why did we need our Mishnah? L'adiach HaKocha de Rabbi Gamliel, to show you the power of Rabbi Gamliel. The afagav de lekel meimer migu, because even though there is no migu mehemna. So on Yud Beis Amud Beis, Rabbi Gamliel said, where I have bari plus migu plus chazaka, then I say the halacha is that she's believed. But maybe in a case where it's bari without a migu, he wouldn't be believed. Now let's just understand why there's no migu here, because we previously talked about this Mishnah, our Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and said there is a migu. What did we say the migu was? The migu was, the woman was saying that she was a mukas, she was saying that she was raped, right? In that case, and so there was a migu that's, I'm sorry, the way we understood our Mishnah was the following, that she was saying mukas eitz ani, then I'm a mukas eitz, and she was saying that she was a mukas eitz from before Erison, and therefore she was getting 100. And so we said, why is she believed? Because there's a migu, she could have said, I was a mukas eitz after Erison, in which case she would get 200, right? So therefore, because she's only claiming 100, and she could have claimed 200, so we believe her because if she was a liar, she would say the better case. But if we're understanding, that works well if you understand our Mishnah on Yom Gimel Amud Aleph to be saying she's saying 100, and she could have said 200. But according to the way Rabbi Yochanan understands our Mishnah, he learns it like Rabbi Meir, who's at that she's asking for 200. She's saying regardless, even if it happened before Erison, I get 200. So she no longer has a migu, because with what she's claiming now is 200. So if she would claim she was a mukas eitz between Erison and Nisuin, it would still be 200. So she doesn't have a migu, because she doesn't have any claim that could get her more than she's already claiming. When we understood she was claiming 100, she could have claimed 200. So she has a migu supporting her. But here she's claiming, according to Rav Yochanan, that it holds like Rav Meir, she was claiming 200 in the first place. So if she would claim that the mukas eitz happened between Erison and Nisuin, it would still be 200. So it doesn't help. So therefore, our Mishnah is teaching us that even though Rabbi Gamliel has, in this case, only a bari v'shem a bari adif plus a chazaka, but he's missing the migu, nonetheless, Rabbi Gamliel still says it's halacha. So that's why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we need two Mishnayos, not because we need to disprove Rami Bar Chama and Rechi Bar Avin, but rather because one of them shows us a chiddush in Rabbi Yeshua, and one of them shows us a chiddush in Rabbi Gamliel, and that's why you needed the two Mishnayos. Okay, next Mishnah. Ra'ua midaberes imecha. The first part of this Mishnah we've not seen before, but the second part we have, and we'll see it. And again, it's following this, it's same machlokas we're going to see, but a little bit different. Ra'ua midaberes imecha. They saw this woman speaking, quote unquote, with another person, and the Gemara is going to talk about what is the nature of this speaking. Va'amrula, and so Bezdin says to her, Mativa shel ish zeh, what's the nature of this man? So she said, because they want to know, because they're trying to figure out, now this is going to be important, right now what we understand the mission to be dealing with is a question of whether she becomes pasul l'kahuna. If she has a relationship with a man that she's usher to become married to, so she didn't marry him, but if he would be usher if she married him, then if she has relations with him, she becomes pasul l'kahuna because she's a zona, right? So the question is, Bezdin saying, we saw you speaking to this guy, what kind of guy is he? Because if he's someone that you're usher to marry, then you would be pasul l'kahuna. We'll see why she'd be pasul l'kahuna for speaking to the guy. So she responds and says, ish ploni v'koinu, it's so-and-so, and he's a kohen, just meaning he's a person I'm allowed to marry. It doesn't have to be a kohen. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Amrim Nemenes, we believe her because she's saying, I'm telling you who it is. It's Ploni Yamoni. And Bezdin is saying, well, maybe it's someone else. So therefore, Bari Veshema, Bari Adif. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar say she's believed. Rabbi Shua Amar, Rabbi Shua says, Lami Pia Anu Chayan. Our world doesn't revolve around her and whatever she says. Ella harezu becheskas buulo l'nesinu l'mamzer asher tavi raya l'dvarel. We consider her as someone that had a relationship with a nesin or a mamzer, and therefore she would be pasul l'kahuna until she can prove that it was some other guy.
You're going to explain why talking does this?
Well, the Gemara is going to say, what do you mean by talking? Yeah, we're going to have this discussion. Yeah. Okay.
What? So,
okay. You're getting nervous over there.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get there.
He's a Cohen.
Okay, so Haisa, now we bring the second case, which is a Mishnah that we in fact encountered previously. Haisa Mu'beres, she's pregnant in this case. And they say to her, Mativo shel over zeh. What's the nature of this Uber? And right now, let's just assume that they're asking her because, again, they want to know, are you, the woman, pasul l'kahuna? So she says, Me'ish plaini v'kayinu, it's from this so-and-so man. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar, Amim Nemenes, she's Nemenes because she's Bari v'shema. Rabbi Yeshua says, let me pee on Uchayim, we don't listen to her. Ela harezu b'cheskes nuberes, l'nesin l'mamzer, ashe tavi raya l'dvareu. We consider it as if she was Baal, a nesin or a mamzer, and therefore she's pasul l'kahuna until she can prove otherwise. So we have what seems to be very similar cases. The difference between being in one case, what she did was she was speaking to the man, and in the other case, she was pregnant, which presumably implies that they were together. Okay, so my midaberes, your question. The Gemara starts off right away. What are you talking about that she spoke? That doesn't make any sense. So, you know, we speak to people all the time. That doesn't mean that you become usher. So Ze'iri Amar, Ze'iri says Nistara. It means that they secluded themselves somewhere. They had Yichud. And so therefore, we don't know for certain that they had Bia. But Rabbi Yeshua says it's enough. The fact that she was Miyachid with a person, which is something she shouldn't do. Therefore, she loses her Cheskas Kashrus. And if she loses her Cheskas Kashrus because she did Yichud, then we're going to worry and assume, particularly, the Gemara is going to establish why, because we're dealing with Kahuna here, particularly when we're dealing with Kahuna, we're going to worry and we're going to say, we're going to treat you as if you were together with this man, even though we only know that you were miyachid with him. Rav Asi says, Nivala. No, we have, what did it mean they were speaking? We had Aiden that said we saw them having Bia together, right? So that's the Machlokas, Ze'iri, and Rav Asi, and we're going to try and walk through and figure out which one of them is correct. Okay. Bishlomo l'Ze'iri. So the Gemara says it works well according to the Ze'iri who says that they had Yichud Hainu Dikatani Midaberes, because that's what it means when they were speaking, because, you know, speaking is something relatively innocuous, but it's not 100% right. Yichud is not quite innocuous, but it's not the same as Bia, so speaking sounds like it might be something that sounds like Yichud. Elo Ravasi, according to Ravasi, my Midaberes, what does it mean speaking? If you're saying it means that they were together, what is speaking and having relations are two very different things. So the Gemara answers, no, Lishna Ma'alya. It's a euphemism. They were saying speaking, but it means being together. Kedichsiv, like we see the pasuk in Mishle, says, Achla umachsa pia va'amra lo pa'alti oven. So the beginning of the pasuk is Kain derech isha mina efes. So is the nature of an unfaithful woman or an adulterous woman. Achla, she eats. Umachasa pia, and she wipes her mouth. V'yamar lo pa'alti oven, I did nothing wrong. So you see, in that case, also it's talking about an adulterous woman. So the language is that achla, she eats, is a euphemism for having relations. Umachasa pia, she wipes her mouth. What do you use to eat? You use your mouth. So it's the saying that she wipes after tashmish, she wipes or cleans herself up. So you see that the Gemara, you see that the pasuk uses a euphemism of eating to mean being together. So too, our Mishnah uses a euphemism of speaking, and it also means that they had relations with one another. Okay, so that's the answer that we're dealing with Lishna Ma'alya. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to ask another question. Bishlam al-Ze'iri, it works well according to Ze'iri, who says they had Yichud, Hainu Diktani Tarti. That's why our Mishnah gave two very similar cases, Midaberes, Umeuberes, because there was two cases. One where they had Yichud, and the halacha is that's the machlokas Rabbi Lazar Gamliel to Rabbi Shua. And the other is where they actually had Bia because if she's pregnant, they had Bia. So therefore, that's why the Mishnah need to say the same kind of case twice in a row. One's talking Yichud, one's talking Bia. And the Chiddush is that by Yichud, even though it's only Yichud, Rabbi Shua is going to say that she is Aser to a Kohen, and the Chiddush of the Mu'baris is that even though it's clear that they had relations, Rabbi Gamliel is still willing to believe her when she says it was with this man, right? So that works well according to Ze'iri. Elo l'Rabasi, but according to Rabasi, who says that Midaberes means that they had relations, and Mu'baris is obviously they had relations, so it's two of the same exact case where they were together. Tarti Lomali, according to him, if they means the same thing, why do I need two? So now, remember what I said before, is that our initial understanding of the Mishnah was that both cases are addressing the question of whether she, the woman, with this man, that she either is secluded with or was together with, is she pasul l'kohuna? But now the Gemara says, no, I need two cases. Why? Chadar l'hachshir ba, v'chadar l'hachshir bebita. One to say that she herself can marry a kohen, and the other to say that her child is also kasher l'kohuna. Okay, so we need two cases. So now why? Okay, so let's just understand what's going on here. Why would you need two cases? On its face, you would think if we assume that she is telling the truth about who she was together with this man, then, of course, her daughter, if the man was kosher, then her daughter should also not be pasul l'kohuna, right? So, but it's not so simple, because if you think about it, the fact that we say, it's not that we necessarily believe her specifically that it was this man, we just say she has a cheskes kasheris, she also has a migu that she could have said, at least in the case of Midaberes, I wasn't together with him. So we believe her on her status. But that doesn't mean we believe her about exactly what happened. We just say we keep her at our cheskes kashrus because we don't know. The child, as we're going to see in the Gemara in a minute, doesn't have a cheskes kashrus, number one. And not only that, the facts are very different to whether she is mutter or not. She is a question, the man that she was together with, miyachid or bia together with, the question is she mutter or usher to him? That's the inquiry as to whether she is pasul l'kohuna. For the child, the question whether the child is pasul l'kohuna has everything to do with who is the father. Is the father in a sin? Is the father a mamzer? If it's a mamzer, it's usher to everyone. You know, so the question is, mamzer or in a sin, it's usher to everyone. So the inquiry is really very different. But basically, there's a principle which says that one of them will hold that if the mother is kasher, then we assume that the chazaka, that she has a cheskes kasheris, determines definitively, for halachic purposes, obviously not for factual purposes, for halachic purposes, determines that she was together with this man, and therefore that man is a kohen and is a kasher, and therefore the child is a kasher, is kasher l'kohuna. And the other one says, no, we don't. There's two different inquiries here. The mother is one inquiry, the child's a different inquiry. So therefore they could be treated differently, and that's why I need two mishnayos. I need two cases in the Mishnah. One to tell me that, and this actually makes sense, because the first one talks about midaberes, it's not clear that they had relations. That's a question between her and him. The question for the daughter is a case of Mu'baris, where there was a pregnancy. So it makes sense that when we're talking about pregnancy, we're talking about there being a kid in the world. When there's a kid in the world, we want to know what's the halacha. So he's saying, you are asking, why do you need, if you understand that one case is Yichud and one case is Bia, I know why you need two cases. But if you say they're both Bia, what do I need two cases? And the answer is, I need two cases. One for her and her status to Kahuna, and one for the child and the status to the Kahuna. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, that's good if you're going to tell me that I needed to tell you one for the daughter, and the daughter is also mutter l'kohuna, but hanicha, that works well, l'man d'amr l'divya machshir ba machshir bebita, that says that when she's kasher, her daughter's also kasher. We're going to see this machlokas on Amud Beis. El l'man d'amr l'divya machshir ba pasul bebita, but according to the one who says that she's kasher, but her daughter is not kasher, so we just finished saying we needed two cases in the Mishnah, one to say she's kosher, one to say she's the daughter's kosher. We say that works well if you say the daughter's kosher. But what about according to the Amoro who says that the daughter's not kosher? So he said not kosher lakuna. So the Gemara says, what are you going to say? So we say, no, Rabasi, who we were giving this answer that we needed the two for mother and daughter, is Rabasi, Savar Kamandam, Ledevya Machshir Ba, Machshir Bebito. He happens to hold like the one who says the daughter is in fact mutter. He doesn't hold like the one who says the daughter is aser l'kohuna. So therefore, we needed the two cases, one for the mother, one for the daughter. The fact that there's a different amora who says that the daughter is pasul is not a problem for Rabasi giving this teretz, because he doesn't hold like that amora. Okay. Amrle Rav Papa le'abaya. Rav Papa said to Abaya, Liziri the Amar Mai Midaberes Nistra, according to Ziri, who says that when it says Midaberes, it means that they had Yichud. Va'am Reb Yeshua. This one is, so far we've asked kashas on Ziri. This one's we've asked kashas on Ravasi and said Ziri makes sense. This one we're doing the other way. We say a kasha on Ziri. It's not 100% a kasha, you'll see. But Reb Papa said the bayal is Ziri, according to Ziri, that says Midaberes means Nistera. Va'am Reb Yeshua, we know a halacha from Reb Yeshua. And in our mission, Reb Yeshua said he's not believed. Ha'amar Rav, we know a halacha from Rav that says Malkin ala Yichud. If a man was together with a woman, we give Malkus. Vein Osun ala Yichud, but we don't make her usher to her husband on Yichud. So basically saying that Yichud is not assumed to be Bia. The problem is, according to Ze'iri, who's saying that Reb Yeshua says that we're only talking about Yichud, and yet Reb Yeshua says that we assume her to be a Ba'ulok because we assume that they were together. So the question is, you see from Ze'iri's understanding of Reb Yeshua, that Reb Yeshua says Yichud is enough to passel someone. And why do we see that Rav says Yichud is not enough? It's enough to give someone Malkus because they shouldn't have had Yichud, but we don't assume that they had Bia. And I alluded to this before when I said, so he says, Lema delok Reb Yeshua, are you saying that Rav is paskening not like Reb Yeshua? Now it works much better if you understand, like Rav Asi, that Reb Yeshua in both cases is talking about Bia. But if you assume he's talking about Yichud, it seems that the Rav is paskening in a way not like Reb Yeshua. So the Gemara says, Afilu Tamer Reb Yeshua, you could even say it's Reb Yeshua. And the fact that ordinarily Yichud is not enough to asser a woman to her husband doesn't apply in our case, because what are we dealing with here? Mala Asu B'yochsin. As relates to Kohanim, we're very worried about Kohanim's Yichus, and so therefore we're extra strict. So in that case, Reb Yeshua would say that even though all they did was had Yichud, we assume that they were together and we passel her to Kahuna because in this case we're dealing with Kahuna, and with Kahuna we're very careful. Okay, Meisei, and again we're going to go ask Akasha on having to do with this Machlokas or Rasi and Ziri of whether we're talking Yichud or Bia. Meisei, Re'ua she'nechnesan ma'ach echad l'seiser. We saw that she went with a guy into a private place, a hidden place, so we understand this to be a case of Yichud. We turn the page. Oh, l'chorva, or into a chorva. Now, a chorva is a ruin. And ruins, Rashi says, stama l'bi'ila shehu makam l'znos. Basically, what did people do in ruins? They were promiscuous. That's where they went to get out of sight and do things wrong. So basically speaking, someone going into it, and in fact, we see Gemara's elsewhere talking about you shouldn't go into a ruin because of chshad, because people suspect you of doing something wrong, because that's what people did in ruins. What else do you do in a ruin? So it says, if she went into secret with this man, or she went into a ruin with this man, va'amrula, this is a brisa, va'amrula, and Bezin said to her, mativa shalish, what's the deal with this guy you went in? And she says, Kohenu, he's a Kohenu ben achi abahu, he's the son of my father's brother, basically meaning it was my first cousin I went in together with. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, I'm in that menace. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer says he's believed. Rabbi Shua says, Loi mi pia anu chayin, we don't listen to her. Ela harezu b'cheskes bulul in the sin of the mamza ashtavi raya l'dvarel. So same case. The only difference here is that it's a different factual circumstance. So we say, Bishlam ala Ze'iri, it works out well according to Ze'iri. Hainu diktani, that's why we learned Tarti. We learned two possibilities. L'seiser, that they went into secret, or l'chorva, or into a ruin. Because we said before, one is Yichud, one is Bia. So that works well according to Ze'iri. El Ravasi, according to Ravasi, who says that the case in the Mishnah, Damar Nivala, who says that we're dealing these cases, where do Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel Lezer argue is only by a case of Bia? Tarti Lamali, why do I need both instances of Seser and a ruin? So the Gemara says, Chada Ketani, Le Seser the Churba. It's really one case. She went into the solitude or the solitude of a ruin. Basically, that Le Seser in secret in a ruin is one case. So the Gemara says, I don't like that. Vahal Le Seser o Le Churba Ketani. It says either or. It doesn't say and. It doesn't say in a way that they're both. So we say, no, why did he need two? Chada l'chorva de masa, v'chada l'chorva de dabra. I need it for two kinds of chorva. They're both talking about a chorva, and therefore they're both talking about bia. But what's the difference between them? One is a chorva that's near the city, and one is a chorva that's out in the woods or the field in the desert. It's in somewhere out there. V'tzrichi, and I need both cases. Why do I need both? D'yashmin en chorva de masa. If I only told you the chorva that's right near the city or in the city, I would say in that case, Rabbi Gamliel's matarit. Why? Mishum derav k'sher matzla. Because we're talking about a city that has a big Jewish community and you have a bunch of Jews around. So chances are, if she went with someone into a churva that's right in this city, chances are it was a Jew. And therefore, we're willing, on the basis of that rov, that rov of the men are Jewish, we'll say that's why Rabbi Gamliel says she's mutter. Ava l'churva de dabra. But if she went into a ruin that's 8 miles out of the city, the rov sulanatzla, which most people are puzzled, why? Because once it's not in a city, there's nowhere to attach it to. When we look at the entire world, the entire world has many more Goyim and other people than it has Jews. So we, Rove would tell us that the man she went in here was a guy. So in that case, I would say, Ema Modulei the Rabbi Yeshua. Maybe Rabbi Gamliel agrees to Rabbi Yeshua. So that's why I needed to tell us the case of Churba de Dabra, the one that's in the field. And if I only told you the case of a churva that's out in the field, where you see that even though Rove Psulin, that even though most people are Goyim, we still say she's mutter. If I only told you that case, Be'ahi kam Rabbi Yeshua, I would say that Rabbi Yeshua only says his halacha over there where it's Rove Psulin. Avol Beha, but in the case where it's in the city or close to the city, Ema Modul Rabbi Gamliel, I would say that Rabbi Yeshua agrees with Rabbi Gamliel that she is usher in that case. That she's mutter in that case because it's close to the city and most of the people are Jews. So tzricha. Therefore, I needed both cases. So that's how he answers why the Braisa needed both Seser and Churva. Okay. Now, Meise. So now we're going to go back. Now we're gonna bring another Braisa. And this Braisa basically had that same machlokas, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Gamliel with Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar said, Zu Eidish Aisha Ksheraba. This is Eidish that the woman is kosher, meaning we believe her when she says that it's so-and-so man. Rabbi Yeshua says, Ein Nemenes, not Nemenes. And the Braisa continues. And this is going to be a back and forth between Rabbi Yeshua with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar. Amar Lahem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said to them, I atem modim. Aren't you maskim? Don't you agree? Beshvuya shenishpis, with a captive who is captured, a girl gets captured. Beyeshla edim shenishpis, and there are edim that she was captured. So it's not just that we assumed ISIS took her, but we actually have edim that says that they took her. Vehi omeres tahorani, but she says that I'm tahar. I wasn't. No one raped me or anything. She'ena nemenes, that she's not believed. Now, this, in fact, is a Mishnah we're going to have later in Ksubis, and in fact, it's a Stam Mishnah. So Rabbi Yeshua said to him, don't you agree with me that if a woman gets captured by captors, we assume that the captors raped her? So they, Amrullah, they said, Avol, yes. Rashi says, Avol, it means yes, because we see this in Bereishis. It says, Avol Sara Ishtecha. But and Rashi says the Targum is Bekushta. He says, so this was when he was saying Sarah wasn't his wife. They said, no, Sarah is your wife. So Aval means, yes, that they agree that that's the truth. So Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar, isn't it true? Don't you agree with me that where a woman is captured by the captors, even if she says no one raped me, we don't believe her? They said, yes, that's true. So he says, okay, if so, Uma Hefer Sheish Ben Zu Lezu. What's the difference between these two cases? In either case, we have a reason to believe that she had relations, and yet we don't believe her. So why in the case of captives we don't believe the woman, but in this case we believe the woman where she says it was so-and-so and he was kosher? So the Gemara says, Lezu yesh edim, lezu ein la edim. Because in the case of the captive, we said that there were edim that she was captured, and therefore we assume with certainty that they raped her. Ulazu ain't la edim, but in this case there are no edim that they had bia. Maybe they didn't have bia. So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Yeshua said back to them, okay, af lazu yesh edim shari krisa ben sheneha. What do you mean that there were no edim that they were together? She's pregnant. So of course they were together. We don't need edim. So in other words, how could you distinguish the case of capturing to our case where it is talking about where she's pregnant? So of course we're certain that they were together. So Amrulo, now this is the Braisa, and we're not going to understand this. And neither does the Gemara. Amrulo, they said to him, Rov of the Kachavim Prutzim Barayas Haim. Most of the Kachavim are Prutzim in Arayas. And to which Amr Lahan, he said back to them, Ein Apotropos L'Araya. There's no Apotropos L'Araya, means we can't be certain that people didn't have a riot. So this conversation doesn't make sense there's something missing here, which is what the Gemara is going to say soon. But the Gemara then, the Braisa then continues. We'll get back to trying to figure out what the Gemara is talking, what the Braisa is talking about. The Braisa then continues and says,
I'm sorry? Apotropos
means? Apotropos is like, it's a guardian, but it means in this case like a guarantee. It's like there's no, you can't guarantee that people weren't together. In apotropos larayas, apotropos is a term that's used, like for example, with Yesomim, with orphans, we appoint an apotropos. So it means someone who's a guardian of some sort, but in this context, I would probably say it means something closer to there's no way to be certain that someone didn't have a rias. So, a guarantor. Okay, fine. So we're going to get back to what that means because on its face it doesn't make sense. The brisa then continues, but medvar marmurim. When are these things said? Be'edus isha begufa, about a woman saying edus about herself. Avol edus isha bebita divrei akol avlad shtuki. It works when a woman is giving edus about herself. But when a woman is giving edus about her daughter, everyone agrees that the child is a shtuki. We're going to get back to this, too, to understand what does this mean, because that's going to be a subject of a question. So now, before we get to how this is a kasha on our machlokas of Asi and Zeiri, the Gemara wants to understand what was that exchange that we didn't understand, because the Gemara didn't understand it either. My kamar lahu, my kama hadrilei. What was he asking here, and what were they answering? Because what happened was he said. So if you take a look at Rashi says that basically that they said, aren't we talking about a case here also? And are you distinguished the case of capture from our case? Because in the case of capture, there were edim that she was captured, and therefore she was for sure raped. Versus our case, that there are no edim that they were together. And Rabbi Shua said back to them, what do you mean? In our case, she's pregnant. So of course they were together. So what kind of answer is it to say that they're prutzim? That's not an answer to the question. If anything, this is more of a proof of prutzim because she's pregnant. So the Gemara says, hachi kamrile, this was the exchange. Hishpatanu ala muberes. You're right. In the case of muberes, you argue with us in two cases. In the case of muberes, you argue with us and maybe... I think we're out of time, so I'm not going to get into this in detail. Basically saying, we agree with you in the case of Muberes. You're right. That's equivalent of the case where she was captured and their edim. We agree with you. It doesn't mean we paskin like you. It just says you beat us on this point. Again, if you want, we could talk about after this year how exactly that works. But they say, you're right. That I don't have a good answer for you in the case of Muberes. But ma teshivenu al medaberes. But in the case of Medaberes, where you also argue with us, right? In that case, there are no edim that they were together because all we know is that there was stira, right? So we see, there were no edim that there was stira. So that's the distinction between the case of capture and the case where we argue with you is because in the case of capture they were for sure together, and in our case they weren't for sure together. Amar Lahem, he said to them, midaberes hainu shvuya. It's the same thing. In other words, in the case of shvuya capture. We assume that they raped her. We don't know it. So in the case of Midaberes, also we assume that they were together when they shouldn't have been. We don't know it. So that's not a good distinction to say in the case of Shuya there were Edom here, there aren't Edom. In each case we're assuming. In each case we're assuming with good basis. So Rabbi Shua says, I don't like that. Amrulei. So then they answered back to them, Shani Shvuya derive of the Kachavim Prutas Barayas. Shvuya is different because most of the Kachavim are Prutzim Barayas. Prutzim Barayas, Hemar Prutzim the Arayas, and therefore, in that case, we're really, really strong assumption that they raped her, enough that we're willing to be certain, because of the Kachavim Gayim are really Arayas. But here in our case, where we're talking about Jews, it's not necessarily that they were together. Amalahem, he says, that I don't like that answer either. In other words, you're saying for sure in the case of capture they were together, but not in the case over here because they were Jews. Hanami kiven de itzer ein apotropos l'arayis, that ein apotropos l'arayis, even in her case, there's no way we could say that someone made sure that they weren't together. We assume that they were. We assume that if they went into a room alone that they were together. So there's no good distinction between the case of capture and our case in our Mishnah. So. That's now the Gemara has explained this. So they basically argue, is it similar to capture, in which case everyone agrees to the halacha, or is it different? But for our purposes, ketani mihas, we learned at least, that ketani mihas tarti, midaberes umuberes. Because what happened, if you remember, in this back and forth, they said, fine, we agree to you in the halacha where we said mu'uberes, you beat us on that point, right? But what about midaberes, which is a different case, right? So you see where Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar, who were talking to Rabbi Yeshua, distinguished between the case of mu'uberes and midaberes, because in one case they said, fine, we agree, you beat us on this case, but how do you answer this other case? So that implies that they're talking about two different things. One would be yichud, and one would be bia. So that works well. But if you say that they're both bia, then how could Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar themselves say, fine, you beat us in this one, but not that one, if they're the same case? So the Gemara says, Tiyofta, you're right. So at this point, we've upschlugged Rav Asi. It can't be that it's bia. It has to be one is yichud, and one is bia. So we've determined that is the case in our Mishnah. The first case, Midaberes, is talking where there was yichud, and the chiddush is that even though it was just yichud, and we have no raya that they were together, Rabbi Yeshua says that she loses her kashrus l'kuhuna. And in the seifa where it says even when she's muberes, which proves that they were together, even then Rabbi Gamliel says we believe her. So that's how we come out in understanding in our mishnah. So tiyufta d'ravasi tiyufta. Okay, I'll try and speed it up a little bit here. The tapaklay. Okay, so now what happened over here? We said that they were arguing that there's basically no distinction between the case of capture and our case where she says it was so and so coin, and there we don't believe her, and here we do. And Rabbi Yeshua was saying they're exactly the same. So the Gemara says, typically, why don't we say that there's a difference between those cases? The Hasam Rov Psulin Atzla, Vahacha Rov Ksheirin Atzla. Why don't you say in the case of capture, you're talking about Goyim captured her. So the people there are Goyim. So therefore, more than chances are, that if they raped her, that it was all Goyim, so she would be Pasul. But here, even if we say that they were together, since it's in an area where most people are Jews, chances are she was with a Jew, so that would be, and as Yeshua was saying, there's no distinction between capture and our case, and the Gemara is saying, why don't you say there's a distinction between capture and our case? Because in one case, there's a rov that says it was Goyim, and in one case, it says a rov that says it was Yidden. And that would explain the difference in halacha. So the Gemara says, Misayele de Rabbi Shua ben Levi. From the fact that we didn't make that distinction, supports Rabbi Shua ben Levi's halacha. What's Rabbi Shua ben Levi's halacha? Dam Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, L'divrei ha-machsher. According to Rabbi Gamliel, who's machsher afilu barov psulin. He says that she's kosher to kahuna no matter what, even if it's rov psulim. L'divrei posel, according to the one who says that she's posel, afilu rov ksheirim, even if it's rov ksheirim. So basically, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one that says that these opinions are so strongly held between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar on the one hand, and Rabbi Yeshua on the other hand, that each of them holds it, even if the rov is connected their view. So therefore, from this back and forth, where Rabbi Yeshua is trying to say it's exactly the same, and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar didn't answer and say, no, there's a distinction because one has Rov Yisrael and one has Rov Nachrim. So it proves Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's point that these litigants don't distinguish based on the Rov. So it's a good support for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Fine. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. L'divrei ha-machsher. Okay, now we're going to go back. We referenced before a machlokas. We referenced a machlokas as to... we asked before because we were giving an answer for Rav Asi, and we said Rav Asi needed two cases, one for her, one for her daughter. And the Gemara asked, well, what about according to the Mandamar who says that her daughter is not mutter, that her daughter is actually pasul? Now we're going to see that machlokas. I referenced that we'd see it on Amma Beis. I'm Rav Yochanan. L'divrei ha-machsher ba machsher bebita. According to the one who says she's mutter, the mother, then the daughter's also mutter. L'divrei ha-posel ba posel bebita. According to the one who says that she's pasul, which is Rav Yeshua, the daughter's also pasul. So that's the one that's saying that the daughter is kasher. Rav Elazar says l'divrei ha-machsher ba posel bebita. According to the one who says she's kasher, her daughter is still pasul. So this is that machlokas that I referenced before. So the way they would understand our Mishnah, so the question is, do they? Our Mishnah is either talking just about, just about the woman, or it could be talking about the woman and her daughter. So in this case, we have a machlokas amarayim as to what's the status of the daughter. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, my time at the Rabbi Elazar, what's the reason of Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar is the one who says that the daughter is pasul. Bishlomo, it works well, ihi isla chazaka de kashas, bita lesla chazaka de kashas. It makes sense why you should say the daughter is pasul, because think about this. The woman, we have a suffix as to whether she is kasher lakuna or pasul lakuna. So we'll go back on her chazaka that says she's kasher lekuna, she has a cheskes kasher, and therefore we assume that she's kasher. Her daughter, on the other hand, was born into a circumstance we have no idea who the father is. So from the very beginning, we don't know who is this father, and therefore she never had a cheskes kasher. She was always in a status of doubt. Since she was always in a status of doubt, it makes sense to say that the halacha could be different between the mother and the daughter. So my time in the bishlam ihi esla chazaka de kashrus bita lesla chazaka de kashrus. So that's the reason. So he says that they have a different cheskes kashrus. Esrei Rebbe Lazar le Rebbe Yochanan. Rebbe Lazar asked Rebbe Yochanan. He says, so, and he goes back on this brisa. This is why we're bringing this halacha now, because we had this brisa. If you remember, there was this back and forth between Rebbe Gamliel and Rebbe Lazar with Rebbe Yeshua. At the very end, the brisa said, this is, if you see Taisus, that says machshir, like kind of across from there, there's Bamedvar Mamurim. The brisa said, when is it? Said, Be'edis Isha Begufa, when the woman testifies about herself. Avo'edis Isha Bebita, Devriako Vlad Shtuki. But if the woman is testifying about her daughter, everyone agrees that the Vlad is a Shtuki. What is a Shtuki? By the way, we've encountered this before in Yevamos. A Shtuki is someone who loses some aspects of Kahuna. Rashi and Kedushin tells us that the word Shtuki comes from the following. The guy doesn't know who his father is, so he walks around to different men and says, hey, Dad, how are you? Right? And the mother's like, shh. That's not your father. That's basically what shtuki. Shtuki means be quiet. So the mother is always shushing the child, saying, don't go over to that guy. He's not your father. Right? So this is a halacha that has consequences for kahuna, as we'll see. But in any event, Rabbi Elazar asks Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Rabbi Elazar is the one who says the daughter is puzzle. So and Rabbi Yochanan says she's kosher. He says, so the brisa says, b'medvar memur, when is it says, b'edish isha begufa, when the woman testifies about herself. Avol edish isha bebita, d'v'yakol v'lad shtuki. If the mother is testifying about her daughter, everyone says the Vlad is a shtuki. My love, shtuki of apostle. Aren't we talking about the fact of the matter is, it's a shtuki, and the daughter is puzzle. So you see a support for the, view that the daughter is puzzle. So the Gemara says, lo, shtuki v'kosher. It means she's a shtuki, which has some consequences on Kahuna, but she's still kosher to marry a Kohen. So the Gemara says, Umiyik a shtuki kosher. Is there such a thing as someone who's a shtuki who's also kosher to marry Kahuna? If you're saying it's a shtuki because you don't know who the father is, then how could you say she's still mutter to marry a Kohen? So we say, in, yes, kiddush Shmuel like Shmuel, because we're going to bring a case of Shmuel where Shmuel says, where we're confident that the girl is a Kohen, but we're not sure, we're still considering him a shtuki. How so? Damar Shmuel. Shmuel had the following case. Asar kohanim omdim. There was 10 kohanim in a room. They were locked in a room. And there was one woman, upirish achad mehem, and one of them separated from the group, ubaal, and was with this woman. So the halacha is havlad shtuki. The vlad is a shtuki. Now we're going to try and figure out, what does that mean, he's a shtuki? So first of all, Rashi explains, off the bat, we can dispense with the question of whether this person has the status of a Kohen, because it's for sure a Kohen, because there were 10 men, they were all Kohanim, those were the only 10 men around, so this child is a Kohen, so that's not the question. So we're going to try and figure out, what does it mean, shtuki? My shtuki. Ilema shemishaskinon oso minichse aviv, that is a shtuki, means we quiet him or her, because we quiet them from Yerusha, because this child doesn't know who's the father. Maybe, the father's any one of these 10 people. So which one can you say that they inherit? So we say it's a shtuki. She's quiet in the sense that, or he's quiet in the sense that he can't be Yarish the father. The Gemara says, pshita, of course, because you have no idea who the father is. So what would be the chiddush of that? Umi adina navu amanu. We don't know who the father is. Ela shemashtikin oso midin kahuna. We quiet him from the din of kahuna. Dechsiv, so meaning we don't let him be like a coin that he gets to do avoda, and he gets truma. Why? Dechsiv, because it's written, and we had this limud also a little while ago. V'haisa lo yulzara achra bris kunas olam. The pasuk says that it should be for him and his children afterward as bris kunas olam. Misha zara miyuchas achrov, that only someone who has yichus of a kohen, that you know exactly who the father is, in that case you can share in the responsibilities and the privileges of kohuna. Yatazeh shein zara miyuchas achrov. So that excludes this one who doesn't have the proper yichus of kahuna. So what we're coming out is that when it said b'medvar mamurim, that a woman is believed about herself but not about her daughter, and is a shtuki, that was talking about this case where there was 10 kohanim and the woman. It wasn't talking about our case in the Mishnah where the woman says, I was married, I was together with so-and-so and he was a kasher. It's talking about a different case, and therefore it's not a kasha on, it's not a kasha for Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar was asking the kasha on on Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore it's not a kasha, because when it said b'mat devar mamurim was not dealing with that case, but rather was dealing with the case of the ten kohanim, and the vlad is a shtuki.